Well, today we continue on in our sermon series titled, This is Spiritual, right? And again, the whole idea with this whole series is that everything is spiritual. No matter, in fact, it was kind of funny because even yesterday during our work day, it seemed like that phrase kept coming up, right? If they were clearing trash out from the back of the building and everything out in the woods and everything, yeah, well, picking up trash is spiritual. And it is, right? You're cleaning out the resource room, well, that's spiritual too. You feel tired? Well, that's spiritual as well. You hungry? That's also spiritual. You feel joy because you've accomplished great things? Well, that's all, like, everything is spiritual and everything has spiritual implications about it, right? And so this month we've been talking about how it is that we can grow in this awareness of what God is doing in our lives. Even just last week we talked about just how important it is that if we're going to grow spiritually, we've got to be aware of what God is doing. We've got to submit ourselves to what God is wanting to do in our lives. And then we will see the fruit of that submission to God. Even the very first week we started in all this, remember, we started talking about being mentally fit, right? And how we can understand that what we think and feel, that like those things are spiritual as well. Like all of it, whether it's in our minds or our bodies or just around us, everything is spiritual. So today we're going to look at how we can be relationally fit, how it is that we can be aware of what God is doing spiritually around us, but in the relationships that we have. The reality is that we do have an enemy that desires to steal, kill, and destroy our lives, right? And many times, if the devil is not successful in just coming directly at you, a lot of times he will use the relationships around you to try to steal, kill, and destroy your life, right? Now, the good news is that we do not only have an adversary, but we also have a Savior. We also have the church that Jesus died for. And so we have people in which we can build relationship with in order that we don't have to continue to fall to the temptations of the devil, but rather we can have people that come alongside us, and that as we have and we build these powerful relationships, not only with God directly, but even with the church that is able, they're able to come alongside one another. We as a family are able to come alongside one another. And that as we engage in these healthy relationships, we're able to learn so much more how we can be victorious over an enemy who would seek to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. Well, before we get into all of that, let me pray, and then after that prayer, you're going to see a video. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for your presence here with us now. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to hear from your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you are with us. You are desiring to speak into our lives, God. And even if we may not recognize it outside of this building, Father, we definitely recognize that you are doing something here and now. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours, that your message alone would be communicated and received in this place. Help us all, Father, that we would not only hear from you, but that we would respond to you with faith. God, that you may be glorified in all things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Life was really rough from a very young age. So I had verbal abuse from my father, physical abuse from my father. My father abused my mom. So I got into doing bad stuff because I was trying to escape. I ran away from home a lot, got in with bad crowds, chemicals and friends, and, you know, just trying to mentally escape from the, and then physically escape from the entire situation. Going through all of those, I can see now, God was with me that whole time, because I should have died at least four times in some of the situations that I was put in. That's when I started my experience of wanting to know who God really is, because the God that I was raised up on, that couldn't be the right God. By going through the different classes that I've been through and going through the community groups and the disciple trainings and, you know, all these things has really gotten me, praise God, where I have a personal relationship with God. We had a great class, and I miss everybody that was in that class, but it was good. That's the first class that I took that I really felt that I got close to some of the other people here. They knew me, I knew them, I knew some of, you know, their story and some of the things that they went through. They knew what I've been through, and we were able to connect. And I think that connection was a really big part of getting closer with God. And it really is like a family. We were able to be open and honest with each other and talk through things and build relationships. And I know now that these are the relationships that are going to be carrying me through the rest of my life, you know, and that's very important. I know that if I have an issue, there's people I can call and talk through things and pray with and help me get over or get through whatever the situation is. You're not alone. There's people out there that can empathize and walk this life together. And I think that makes a difference, knowing that, and knowing that there's people that I can reach out to. I don't have the parent book. No, but I don't think anybody does. I just know that the way I was raised, I don't want to raise him that way. The things that I've experienced, I don't want him to experience. I want to provide him a life that I am now learning is way better than I ever knew life could be. So I want him to experience that joy. I trust God with all aspects of my life, from the material stuff to the emotional stuff. And I know God is going to comfort me. I know he's going to give me the peace that I need. And it's going to be okay.
So we understand and we recognize. And first of all, let me just say thanks to Terry Black for just sharing her testimony there. Maybe you feel like God has done some things in your life that, and let me just say it this way. I know God has done some things in your life that maybe it'd be really great for people to hear your testimony as well. And if that's the case, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to be able to sit down and talk with you sometime so that we could see how your testimony might make a difference in other people's lives too. But as Terry was showing there, like the relationships that are built with the church are so supportive and so encouraging and so necessary in our growth. Like, it's great to know that we're not in this by ourselves, because sometimes during the week it can feel like we're just in this by ourselves, right? And I just want to encourage you so that you know you're not in this by yourself. You're not alone in this. You have people that can walk with you through this. Now, that being said, what I want to do this morning is I want to dive into some scripture, because Jesus says some really interesting things about relationships that will have that don't always, at least in my mind anyway, don't always really make sense, right? And so what we're going to do is we're gonna dive into this stuff, and we're just going to see how the Lord might be able to make some sense of some of these things so that we can make sure that we're putting ourselves in a position to actually be able to engage with relationships in a healthy way so that we're not getting things backwards and that we're able to connect to the people that we need to connect with in order that we can see the growth in our lives that we need to experience, all right? So let me dive into this here. We're going to start in Luke chapter 6 and verses 32 and 33. And if you've got Bibles with you, just get ready. You're going to be flipping a lot today because we're going to be moving through these pretty quick. They'll be up on the screens as well, but anyway, we're going to move through these pretty quick. So Luke chapter 6, 32 and 33 says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you?" This is Jesus speaking, by the way. "Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that." So clearly, Jesus has this sort of a different way of measuring what relational health looks like, right? I mean, I would think that all of us would probably say, well, I mean, like, if you like the things that I like, well, then go, like, we should hang out, we'll be friends, it'll be great. But yeah, Jesus is like, well, if you just love people who love you, like, what's the point of that, right? Let's keep going here. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 39 says, "If anyone loves their father or mother more than me, he is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Well, now this is really weird, right? Because now Jesus is telling his disciples here that, like, they can't even love their father or mother as much as they love him. Like, what? And in fact, if Luke, the account, this same account in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, mother and or brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." What? Like, Jesus, I thought you were supposed to be all about love. I thought you were supposed to be telling me to go love my father and mother and my brother and sister and all my kids and all this kind of stuff. How in the world now are you saying this? Let me, for this verse out of Luke, first of all, let me just be clear in that what Jesus is communicating here is not a hatred for the people that you have in your life. Let me clarify. There's a whole sermon all to that itself. But let me just say it in this way, is that what Jesus is calling for his disciples to do here is to love him so much that their love for their family would almost be considered hatred in comparison to the love that they have for him, right? So, but in this, we are seeing that, like, the way that Jesus is measuring what a healthy relationship is absolutely so much different than how we might ordinarily judge what that healthy relational connection might look like. Jesus is really challenging his disciples here to look at things very, very differently and to engage things very, very differently. And then we get into Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 through 50. It says, "He replied to them, 'Who is my mother and my brother?'" So let me set this up a little bit. Mother and brothers are outside. Jesus is in with some disciples and everything, and they're having themselves a little vacation Bible school kind of deal. And mother and brothers are outside, and they call for Jesus to come out to them. And this is his response here, right? "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to the disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." All right, now we are beginning to see the shift that Jesus has in regard to what it is to have healthy relationships and how it is those relationships are supposed to be set up. Here, according to what Jesus is saying, there is something significant about obedience to the Father and obedience to the Savior In that regard, I think we can also imply even obedience to God's Holy Spirit in our day-to-day lives. There's something significant about obedience to God in regard to this relational health. There's something significant. In other words, I don't think that Jesus is desiring or intending to be rude to his mom and to his brothers, but I think he's communicating here that there is something more at work. Like what really makes for these healthy relationships is obedience to what God would have you to do in your life. And that when you are walking in obedience to God, then the relationships that you have will be formed out of those things in that right relationship with him. Now, let me jump now into 1 John chapter 4. I told you we were going to be moving through these real quick, and so I hope you're writing them down. Maybe you can go back and do some of your own like deep Bible study and all this here too. But 1 John chapter 4 verses 10 and 11 says, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now here is where it's at. See, the shift that we need to make here is that relational health has to start with a healthy, loving relationship with God who sent his son to die for us. We have to recognize that if we are going to be able to have healthy relationships with others, it first has to start with a healthy relationship with our God. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ should dictate how it is that we relate to everyone else in our lives, not the other way around. But here's where the rub is. The example of our relationships that we have actually tends to cloud what it should look like to be in right relationship with God. Let me see if I can sort of illustrate this well. So here we are, surrounded by our family and our friends, all right? And as we are surrounded by these family and friends, we learn here how to love one another. And the reality is that as we are loving our family and our friends, some people aren't going to be very good at it, right? And so we're going to have there's going to be some wounding there. There's going to be people who do you wrong, right? There's going to be people who turn their back on you at your time of need. There's going to be people who, maybe there's divorce that happens. Maybe there's, whether it's your divorce, or maybe you have a parent that, your parents divorce, or there's all kinds of things that even as you're growing up and everything, you're surrounded by family and friends. And those family and friends, while you may have some strong bonds and everything there, they don't always do it right. And then sometimes what will happen is we have these relationships that we've built here, and then we come over and we look at God and we try to love God the same way that we learned love here. And then we get over here and we wonder, why is it so hard for us to actually love God? Why is it hard for me to trust God? Why is it hard for me to put my faith in God? Well, that's because over here, it's hard. We learn that it's hard to really trust people over here because not everybody's going to do you right. We learn that it's hard to really love people over here because you can't always count on the fact that they're going to love you back, right? And so we have all this wounding and all this stuff, right, that we learn is part of relationships over here. And then we take all that stuff and we go to God and we were like, we're fighting for this relationship with God and we struggle with it because we struggle with trust and we struggle to really love and we struggle to forgive others and we struggle with all this stuff because we're trying to love God out of what we have learned over here. See, what I believe these verses are revealing to us today is that those people were never supposed to teach us how to love. Those people were never supposed to teach us how to love. God wants to show us how to love. That's why he sent his son to die on a cross. He died for us before we, while we were still sinners, while we were actively disobedient, while we were actively in opposition to who God is and what he's trying to do in our lives, God still sent his son anyway in order to show his love to us. So, the way it's supposed to work is that over here with God, we are supposed to learn how to love. We're supposed to learn what love is, but by getting to know who love is. God is love. That is the part of the composition of who he is. It's not just something he does. That's who he is. And so when we read verses where Jesus says that you have to love me more than your mother and father and brother and sister and son and daughter and everything, that's because these relationships can't teach you how to love. Only that relationship with God can teach you how to love. Now watch this though, because once I learn how to love from God, then I can love my brother and my sister and my wife and my mom and my dad and all my kids. I can love them right once I learn how to do that. But I can't start here and then go to God, because then that relationship with God will be dysfunctional from the start, right? Because this was dysfunctional from the start. But when I start with God, when I recognize that he loved me first, that's what it said there in 1 John chapter 4. He loved us before we ever had the opportunity to love him. He loved us. And so, if I would dare to love him first, to where everything else seems almost like a hatred, that I love God and I allow myself to fall in love with Jesus and all that he has done for me and in me and through me, if I allow myself to abandon all else in order that I might learn what love really is, then once I have that, I can go back to my family and I can love them in my own wholeness. I don't have to try to struggle to love them in my brokenness anymore. How empowering is that, right? I don't know about you, but I've tried to love out of brokenness before. And it's really, really hard. It's really hard to try to manufacture something that you've never experienced. It's really hard to try to make something out of nothing. It's really hard to imagine and almost sort of make up this story in my mind of what it's supposed to look like when you haven't actually experienced that yourself. Oh, but if we would just simply allow ourselves to be loved by God and to actually love him. See, that is the step of faith that is required to actually be relationally fit. And here's, then we read verses like in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others when their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Watch this now. When we learn love here, we read verses like this and we say, "Oh, I could never forgive so and so because they did me wrong." Well, yeah, because you're learning love out of brokenness. But when you learn love over here and you recognize that Jesus loved you even as you were against him, you know that he forgave you, you know that he gave his grace, that he gave his mercy, he gave everything, like he loved you eternally. When you allow yourself to be in that kind of a relationship with God, then when you come back over here, forgiving others may not necessarily be easy, but it's a whole lot easier than you trying to do it on your own. And forgiveness is just one example of all of this, right? There's so many ways that we try to manufacture what love ought to look like, and I don't even have time to get into how our culture is trying to cloud all of this and sort of manufacturing what love is supposed to look like. And if you're just nice to people, well, then that must be love. And if you're tolerant of people, then that must be love. When the reality is, if we're going to learn how to love, we need to love Jesus. And we need to receive the love that he has for us, even if that means abandoning everything else. Because the reality is, we're not going to be able to love other people well until we learn how to love God and receive the love of God in our own lives. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up. I want you to realize today, God does love you eternally. And that might be kind of hard to even kind of get your mind around, particularly for people who are still here. And please hear me, sometimes I find myself back in this very same spot as well, where I am going back to what I've learned from the people around me, and I'm trying to live out of the experiences that I've already had in my life. And instead of loving out of what Jesus has given me, I come back to this place as well. But I just want you to know that Jesus loved you so much that he died on a cross in order that you would be saved from yourself, that we would be saved from ourselves, from our own brokenness, our own sin, and all the ways that we have turned from him. I want you to know that the grace of Jesus Christ, this forgiveness, this brand new life, this start over. See, again, what Jesus was calling his disciples to do was something so radically different. It was totally different than anything they'd ever heard before. And what he was saying was, you got to come out of this in order that you can get into this. And then once you get this straight, I'm going to send you back over to this, right? The disciples were never pulled out to not go back. They were pulled out so that they could learn something they could never learn there. If we are going to fall in love with Jesus, that means we got to step out of what we're used to and step into this relationship with him. And that's available to you even right now. I want to invite you to stand with me now if you would. Maybe this is your first time here with us today. Maybe you've been here for 100 years already. I just want you to know that the grace of Jesus Christ is available for you. Maybe you recognize, you know what, I am so trying to manufacture what love is supposed to look like out of my own brokenness, and it is exhausting. And I just want to invite you to come and receive the love of Jesus today. You can walk out of here a brand new person with forgiveness and wholeness. Like, I want to invite you to just simply accept the fact that, you know what, we're all sinners. At least we were. Accept and believe that Jesus died on a cross for you in order that your sins might be forgiven, in order that you might be a new person, in order that you might be able to receive this love that God has for you, in order that you might be able to have these relationships in a healthy way. Maybe you are smack dab in the middle of some broken relationships right now that you need Jesus to speak into. Maybe you need Jesus to rescue you from. I just want to invite you, in this time that we sing together, go to the Lord with this. Come to him. Maybe today's the day that you say, you know what? I'm tired of doing this on my own, and I'm going to do this with Jesus. I want to be a Jesus follower. I want to do this different. I want to follow Jesus with my life. I want to encourage you. Maybe you want to come to an altar of prayer to pray. You can go in our prayer room as well if you'd like to just be off to the side there. Maybe you just want to find somebody right where you are and pray with them there. However that might be, I just want to encourage you. However the Lord is leading you, whatever it is that God has brought into your mind, say yes to him now. Walk by faith with him now. He will show you how to be loved and how to love others. Let's submit ourselves to him.